Selected Stories by O. Henry. The Day We Celebrate. In the tropics, Hopalong Bib, the bird fancier, was saying to me, the seasons, months, fortnights, weekends, holidays, dog days, Sundays, and yesterdays get so jumbled together in the shuffle that you never know when a year has gone by until you're in the middle of the next one. Hopalong Bib kept his bird store on Lower Fourth Avenue. He was an ex-seaman and beachcomber who made regular voyages to southern ports and imported personally conducted invoices of talking parrots and dialectic parakeets. He had a stiff knee, neck, and nerve. I had gone to him to buy a parrot to present at Christmas to my Aunt Joanna. "This one," I said, disregarding his homily on the subdivisions of time. "This one that seems all red, white, and blue. Of what genus of beast does he belong?" He appeals at once to my patriotism and to my love of discord in color schemes. "That's a cockatoo from Ecuador," said Bib. "All he has been taught to say is Merry Christmas. A seasonable bird. He's only $7, and I'll bet many a human has stuck you for money by making the same speech to you." And then Bib laughed, suddenly and loudly. "That bird," he exclaimed, "reminds me. He's got his dates mixed. He ought to be saying Ex Pluribus Unum to match his features, instead of trying to work the Santa Claus graft. It reminds me of the time me and Liverpool Sam got our ideas of things tangled up on the coast of Costa Rica on account of the weather and other phenomena to be met with in the tropics. We were, as it were, stranded on the section of the Spanish Main with no money to speak of and no friends that should be talked about either. We had stoked and second-cooked ourselves down there on a fruit steamer from New Orleans to try our luck, which was discharged after we got there for lack of evidence. There was no work suitable to our instincts, so me and Liverpool began to subsist on the red run of the country and such fruit as we could reap where we had not sown. It was an alluvial town called Soledad, where there was no harbor of future or recourse. Between steamers, the town slept and drank rum. It only woke up when there were bananas to ship. It was like a man sleeping through dinner until the dessert. When me and Liverpool got so low down that the American consul would speak to us, we knew we'd struck bedrock. We boarded with a snuff-brown lady named Chica, who kept a rum shop and a ladies and gents restaurant on a street called the Cal de los 47 Inconsolable Saints. When our credit played out there, Liverpool, whose stomach overshadowed his sensations of noblesse oblige, married Chica. This kept us in rice and fried plantain for a month, and then Chica pounded Liverpool one morning sadly and earnestly for 15 minutes with a casserole handed down from the Stone Age, and we knew that we had outwelcomed our liver. That night, we signed an engagement with Don James McSpinosa, a hybrid banana fancier of the place, to work on his fruit preserves 9 miles out of town. We had to do it or be reduced to seawater and broken doses of feed and slumber. Now, speaking of Liverpool Sam, I don't malign or inexculpate him to you any more than I would to his face, but in my opinion, when an Englishman gets as low as he can, he's got to dodge so that the dregs of other people's nations don't drop ballast on him out of their balloons. Now, if he's a Liverpool Englishman, why, fire damp is what he's got to look out for. Being a natural American, that's my personal view. But Liverpool and me had much in common. We were without decorous clothes or ways and means of existence, and, as the saying goes, misery certainly does enjoy the society of accomplices. Our job on old Mick Spinosa's plantation was chopping down banana stalks and loading the bunches of fruit on the backs of horses. Then a native dressed up in an alligator hide belt, a machete, and a pair of double